Hello and welcome to the sixth Manx Football Podcast of the season. Today I'm joined by the man who puts the loon into maroon, Tom Curfey. How are you, Tom?
Not bad, yeah. Thanks for having me.
You say that every week. I think you're pretty much nailed on now, to be honest.
I don't know. There's still people pretty criticising me.
So. Dave Brew is, you know, keeps promising you that first team run out that never comes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But you're pretty much first team with us.
So. I'd say so, but I don't know.
It's like Henderson moving out to Saudi. It's not affected your role. You'd be fine.
Yeah. I'm also joined by a man whose love for FC Alaman is only surpassed by his love for pot noodles. Other pot noodles are, of course, available. Sam Turton.
I love a pot noodle.
First of all, I just want to say what a great job you did last week without me. I'm considering retiring after not being ill. I listened to that on the coach back to Geneva Airport. I was very impressed.
Yeah, a lot of people I've spoke to have said, I think Andy's done.
Yeah.
I think Sam's the new host, but get the scarf off, we might be able to talk about that.
What was shook me was how much more up lively he was when he did it.
Yeah, normally he responds when you ask him, how are you, Sam? He goes, yeah, not bad. But last week he was quite up for it. He was the one who was going to take it over, wasn't he? Like, me and Dave aren't going to stand here and host. I mean, it would be the Moran podcast if I did it. And if Dave did it, it would just be about the weather, because he loves weather, that man, doesn't he?
And combination football.
He does.
Talking of Dave, he's not, as you may have noticed, he's not here today. He's actually at his niece's birthday, so happy birthday to her. She's listening, thanks Freya. So happy birthday to her. He promised to bring us back some jelly tomorrow, so we'll see if he carries through with that. Also, our man from the south, Adam Morton's not here either. He's off ill today, so get best wishes, Adam. Things people will do to not do the podcast.
Yeah. See, I'll wait around until 6, 7 o'clock, if I'm not. But Adam's straight out the door saying he's ill. I reckon he's claiming it.
Yeah.
This could be. Adam spoke well in the podcast, and Colby are doing well. Maybe this week, no Adam, Colby might fall.
Colby, it's a big game this week as well,
exactly.
But we'll talk about that in DPS Division 2. I think we've all remembered that correctly for the first time. Good week, Sam.
Yeah, it's been all right, I guess. Yeah, there's still an offer on at Tesco. Other shops are available for the pot noodle, so it's a good result.
Any flavour in particular?
I quite like the peri peri chicken.
Would you, I'm going completely off piece here, would you ever turn up to a local football match, I include FC Alaman in this, go to the hatch or kitchen or whatever they have available and say, I've brought a pot noodle, can I borrow some hot water?
No, that'd be unbelievably disrespectful.
But it would be the most Sam Turton thing to do in the world, I think. It would fit his character.
Would it be
so
that disrespectful?
Yeah, I think it would.
It depends on what offerings they have.
You know, it's not like turning up and heating up baby food, is it? It's a bit further than that.
I feel like, I think that's alright, you know.
Hitting a baby food?
No, obviously that's alright. But no,
is it?
Does that happen at clubs?
I don't have to, like,
how many have microwaves?
We don't.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So we've discussed Moran's struggles with food off Times Grand already this season at length. But would you be that offended if he came with a catering pack and said, just can I have some of your water? Put the kettle on.
I'd question the person a lot. I'd be like,
what if you took 50p in for the lecky?
Oh, well, 50p, that goes towards the running of the club. I'd be okay with that. It's still a bit odd, though.
Do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
But if they were offering pot noodles, what about if a club was like offering them and you were hungry at half-time?
Oh, I mean, if a club's offering pot noodles, then they're going to win this year's competition. Scran of the year.
But I feel that's actually something that's not a lot of effort for quite a big return.
But how many people want a pot noodle on a Saturday other than Sam?
I'd take a pot noodle.
I'm not a big pot noodle fan.
Because it's in that cross-section between food and drink, hot beverage.
Yeah, it's like Bovril, isn't it?
Especially
a bit meatier.
Yeah.
Pretty when you get to the bottom. And you get to find out whether you put the right amount of hot sauce in or not. Because otherwise it's a bit bland. But if you get to the bottom, you put too much in, you got all that. Oh, it's a bit.
I'm not a pot noodle fan, you see. I wouldn't be very happy with it.
What's your favourite pot noodle?
Peri peri chicken.
Oh, peri peri. That's controversial. Not one of the classics.
No.
Chicken chow mein or.
No.
Oh, no.
You've got to go big.
I don't. So, where would you put it in at price level?
170.
What'd you get it at Tesco?
Well, it's currently on offer at 70p.
But how much?
That's if you've got a club card. Which is a very important thing that we have to stress in these times. You have to get your club card, get your co-op membership card, all that stuff.
Stuffy Martin Lewis, this is where the real money-saving tips are, isn't it?
Forget this. We're going to save you some money tonight, folks. So it's about 70p at the minute. So I reckon if the club was charging like 120 for it, then you got a good deal on that, even from their side. Normal prices are above a pound, and I'd be hard pushed to pay more than £1.50 for it, so I can see why the clubs aren't into it.
I'd go 150. I'd go £170, £2.
You are living in a dream world.
What people have funded? How much do you pay for an FC Alaman ticket, Sam, on a Saturday?
I
He covers it for the press.
I've never paid for one.
Okay, he gets them for free, does he?
But I paid for away tickets.
But no, because what happens if... Okay, we do keep going down this cul-de-sac, but what about if you got an own brand pot noodle variation? Because I'm guessing they're about 45p, 50p. Then you just sell them for a quid.
Yeah, that's profit. That's margins. That's worth it for clubs,
you
I think.
You could do them around. You could knock out curfew noodles.
I can't imagine it. Do you have to provide the forks?
Do the forks come in?
There's a single ban on the minute. Yeah, the
We'd have to buy two.
You'd have to have a wooden fork. I'm not sure about that now.
See, and all of a sudden it comes, the club's just not worth pot noodles.
See, fortunately, I carry a spork to every game. I don't, before anyone asks me about that.
I'm sure people will ask.
It's not your first buffet, is it?
It's a premium back.
You're like Alan Partridge with a slightly larger dinner plate. any half time scoring at the weekend, lads? Is anyone? Cause I feel like we're failing our listening public and viewing public. We haven't really done many half time scram updates, have we?
I was at the bowl, and I don't think they provide anything to St Mary's Comby, do they?
No. There was well, half-time... you were playing. It's a bit different.
Yeah, but I still want some food. Could do with a Yorkie bar or something.
I regret to inform you that Laxey let themselves down. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it as it happened. It was a bit of a cold day on Saturday. The rain set in. It was the first proper rainy day of the week of the season, and there was no hot scram. There was only Twixes and Kit Kats by the time I got there. Now they could have been sold out, but I looked around. I couldn't see anyone else with one. The ketchup bottle wasn't out.
That's always a good sign.
So I'm thinking there weren't any. However, I did have a nice cup of tea, and it was definitely better than the one I had about earlier the other week. So for that, Lexi still got six.
Have they got personalised mugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that goes a long way, I think.
Yeah, personalised. Yeah. It tastes better.
Exactly. Straight away.
And I don't mean personalised to the person that's drinking it. I mean personalised to the club that's selling
it. Oh, how good would Sam Curtin mugs be? Each club has one. They just go,
I reckon
Sam.
We'd sell at least two of them.
Yeah, at least maybe three.
My mum would buy the same.
Exactly. Right, so this week's mission, try and home in some more half-time scran, I think. Mm-hmm. Please do send us in your pictures of half-time scran and we'll share them on our social media at Manx40pod.
Dean put a good one up in Onken.
Yeah.
He got cups of tea and I think he got a Twix out of it, but a big one. You know, the double one, like the twin pack, but the long one.
You know what? I'm going to be controversial. I don't like chocolate at football.
I don't. I'm not opposed to it. I like it.
Football is very much, it has to be savoury.
Okay.
I can appreciate that.
It's just I'm not, I've had me lunch. And this is like a top up before I have me 3 o'clockses. I just don't like it. Chocolate is when you run out of hope, really.
Last resort.
Or a bit diabetic. You know what I mean? I don't feel like you need to like, I'm not choosing.
Are you
that
like often. A sausage roll or a pasty type of diet? Yeah, one of those. Yeah, and I get that.
I had a burger once or a hot dog. I've had Paul Taxi at Old Boys once give me a hot dog.
But surely you can see why clubs would happily provide a Twix over us at the pasty. The effort levels.
But we've talked about Manx football raising its effort levels with social media, and I feel Scran, half time Scran, goes hand in hand with that.
Mm.
Mouth to hand.
Well, hand to volunteers do all of that, and where are they currently? Where are they normally?
But does he think it, that's what I'm saying? Pot noodles is the way. I think this could be the secret.
Maybe.
You're not convinced, are you?
No, I'm not a big pot noodle fan, and I just don't like the idea of playing football or watching a game and everyone around me eating a pot noodle. I'm just like, no, a pasties I'm all for. Pasties and sausage rolls as well.
I'd take a sausage roll over a pasty.
So would I at a game, genuinely.
It's easy to hold.
Yeah, handy, easy, less... Well, I say less crumbly. Have you ever had a crumbly sausage roll? You know, it goes everywhere. Yeah.
Have you got like one of the old Mr. B-Star ones?
R.I.P. Well, we'll put this debate out to the nation and let us know, should the Isle of Man be a pot noodle-free half-time zone? Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think
that was all the right words, not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Andrew Preview over there. It's one for Hattie and people of a certain generation.
I'm sure it's on TikTok. Right, let's look ahead to this weekend's Manx football starting on Friday night. Friday night. It's the Friday Night Project, as Hattie wonderfully dubbed it, down at St John's, and they take on Douglas Royal in an early 12-pointer. Yeah. In the kind of life Premier League, Tom. This is St John's, are obviously struggling a bit at the moment. Douglas Royal are slightly ahead of them in the league table at the moment. But the St John's will be trying to aim for some points in this one, won't they?
Yeah, I think just in general, the Friday Night Project, I think it's brilliant. Yeah. I think it's I think what every club would want to have. the fact that the crowd levels, everyone's down there. You know where I love standing? You know, above the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, they've got those steps on the changing rooms on the clubhouse, like a little bit of AstroTurf down, great view. I'm surprised Hattie doesn't go up there, but I know he wants a half, like...
Yeah, he goes to the other side.
Yeah, but it's quality, under the lights, everyone there. I think it's brilliant. But with this one, I think St John's, they're struggling this season. They had a tough start to the season. Mm. They've had so many injuries, in fairness to them. I don't think they'll finish around the bottom of the half of the table. I think as players come back, they'll be all right. Royals, it's a massive game for them, though, isn't it? Because, like...
Royals have lost some, like last week they lost 6-5 to Ayr.
See, that concerned me.
Yeah, they score some goals. I think they lost 4-3 already this season. Defence seems to be potentially where they could pinpoint the issue.
Yeah.
St John's, no, they won't be happy going. I thought that 5-1 they lost to Peel last week, I thought that'd be a lot closer with the derby element.
So like, especially a Peel coming on the back of two losses as well. You'd think St John's maybe have fancied their chances there. But...
Yeah. So, I think this could be a draw, you know. A high-scoring draw, nonetheless.
I think St John's will know how to play under them lights. I think they'll be used to the crowd. They'll be used to playing there. They've done it last season a few times, I reckon. So I'm back in St John's.
Home this is advantage. Not like with the question, man. Can Brighton do it on a Thursday and a Sunday?
This is the question.
But are you sure?
Yeah, I genuinely think St John's will know how to play there.
Have you played on a Friday under lights?
No, I haven't.
I don't think it makes that much difference.
I don't know.
Oh, it does.
Oh, it does.
I have played on it, and it does make a difference to you.
Why?
It just is a different vibe to it. I mean, also, you don't get it.
It's not like the 100. They haven't got like a Calypso band in the corner.
But it's dark out, no matter who's playing.
Well,
Hattie's
that's
there.
The thing, is that because the way the light structure is like all around you, aside from the clubhouse, it is just dark all around you.
Yeah.
And it is a different atmosphere down there. I quite liked it. However, I actually did this game last season. I think it was one of the first ones I did last year. And it was, I think Royals were 3-0 up at half time, and they come back to 3-0. And it was one of the, it was a quality game. Also, one of my favourite pictures last year was Alex Haddock just stood underneath the floodlights, just absolutely soaking wet, looking like a goalkeeper who ought to be somewhere else. But I'm going to agree with you and say there's going to be another high scoring draw.
I think he's got draw.
I'm going to go St John's. I think they're. Oh, there's no hay there tomorrow. Are either of yous going?
No, because I think Beck's away this weekend, so I'll have the kids. Unless they go to bed at 7. So.
Mm. What, are you going to attend, Sam?
No, I'm in Liverpool tomorrow night watching Matty Rennie.
Former St Mary's and Laxey midfielder.
And Govs.
Did he play for Govs?
Very briefly, yeah.
Is this a Jack Kamada signing? Was he there for like one game?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Him and...
Jamie Devine, who played for St Mary's and Laxey.
They're both boxing in Liverpool tomorrow night, so I'm going to that.
Oh, fantastic.
I think I'll be there to cover it.
You go tomorrow?
I'm going to go, if the weather's not too bad.
The forecasts are not brilliant, has to be said. I don't want to take anything from Dave Reed's weather. Spoiler alert, we still have Dave Reed's weather, even though he's not here in person. So
keep listening, because it's coming.
It's coming from a secret location, which may be his niece's birthday party. Right, moving on. There is 5 games on Saturday in the Canlife Premier League. Another cheeky 1:45 kickoff with us to contend with. St Mary's taking on Union Mills. We'll start there, as it's chronologically the first game of the day. Sam, Mills, they'll be wanting to put right some wrongs from last week, won't they? I think we all thought Corinthians would probably just edge them in this, but not by 7 goals.
No, they got a bit of a a bit of a hammering last week, it's fair to say. And I don't know where, I didn't see it coming, to be honest. It was one of these sort of ones as well. It's where, like, so I was listening to Rob Pritchard, because other sports journalists are available.
Yeah.
On the afternoon, and Dave tweets were coming through as well. Is there one of these? You know, and I didn't see this was upcoming. So I think they'll be wanting to get something back out of it, because you know, I saw them play Laxey and they looked like they had something about them, and I was really surprised by last week. But Mary's are
flying.
They really are, aren't they? And
they've taken that momentum, because I thought, like, if we look back at last season, Div 2, they were obviously heavily predicted to go up. It wasn't quite as straightforward as everyone thought it was. They drew a couple of games and they lost maybe one or two as well. But this season, they seem to have hit the ground running, don't they? And that's quite a hard task to do, because to be no disrespect to the best division in Europe, but there is quite a step up between DPS Division 2 and kind of Life Premier League.
Yeah, but as we touched on last week, we reckon, I don't know if it was in the pod actually, or we were just talking about it in work, but we were saying we reckon the bottom of the Div 2, Div 1 and the top of Div 2 is quite close, but then there's a massive gap in between that.
But they've gone from the bottom.
Oh no, they have, and they're doing well.
They started from the bottom. And now they're here.
Yeah, well, they're flying and they're doing well.
Ian Drake wrote that.
But they beat Morale last week.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah. I will bring up Morale. Yeah.
But it was close, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've been told by a few people now that they don't think Mary's actually that good. They just reckon they're just, like, they just know how to win.
But like, that's a sign of a good team.
No, it is. And I'm not saying they're taking away anything about their football ability. But I think games like last week when they play Morale, was 2-2. They just grabbed a late 80th minute goal and they just steal the points. It was awful conditions and it probably affected the game and maybe it would have been a different outcome otherwise. But they just kept going and I watched the end of that because obviously when you start the combi, you start a bit earlier. Came down late and as soon as I got there, we conceded. So I think I'm a bad omen for the club, if I'm honest. But
Dave Brew has said that.
Yeah, it's not just Dave. I think a lot of people on the record have said that.
Yeah.
It's quite a common... Yeah, but I do think... I do think Mary's will win against Mills, but I think again it'll be close. That's what I think it'll be. It'll be like maybe a 3-2 again or something similar to that.
We touched on it I think off pod in the week, and you said the bowl is a massive advantage for St Mary's. I mean, you obviously played there last week with the reverse fixture in the combi.
Yeah,
it's such a big pitch, isn't it? And you said St Mary's will get used to that playing on it.
That's why I think it is a slightly unfair advantage because. To me, and I've said this to you, and I think everyone basically disagreed with me, that is like Wembley. Like the bowl should be like Wembley. It should be left alone. And if you get there, the honour to play at the bowl, that's how it should be. I get that on a Saturday, it's a place that can't just be left empty. Mm. But I love the idea of it, like you build up to the bowl. Like you're trying to work every game. You're winning the cup, you're building up. Get a game at the bowl, it'd be brilliant. So, yeah, but it's so hard to play on. It's a massive pitch. And it's also so different because... You've got no excuse if you make a mistake. Like last Saturday, I gave the ball away and I was like looking down at the pitch trying to blame that. And there's none of that there. When we're around playing fields, you can be like, bloody divots.
But I always think for me as a lay person, if you were looking at it, it's so much bigger as well. You know, like obviously, I think we would all agree that the Old Church Road is quite a small pitch.
Yeah, we try and narrow it to this weekend.
But that is such a big pitch and obviously they can't change the size of it. Mm-hmm. So they must get used to playing... more expansive football.
Exactly. It's an advantage. They know how much space they've got. They know how much more time they've got compared to playing away. They play on it every other week. You'll get comfortable playing at the bowl. I think... and that's why I'm probably putting Mary's again to win because they're playing at the bowl. So even in the first team, do they start at 1:45 as well? Is that a 1:45?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't wish to take anything away from our FC Alaman corner, but they're away this week, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's just a standard...
The booking.
Booking, I think. Yeah.
So, Uni Mills get anything out of this? So we've got to give some help to the Mary Millers.
I think the Estadio del Bernabéu will play its part.
Yeah.
Probably Mary's win, yeah. But I don't know. Mills have got enough to do it. They just have to turn up and want to do it. And if they turn up in the right mood, Mills can get some down there.
We shall see. Right, elsewhere we have a big game just up the road. If you head out the exit of the bowl, past the McDonald's, past Douglas Rugby Club, a bit further up past Braddon School, over the roundabout, past the Striking Nurses, turn right, and then you get to Bala Fletcher, and we have Corinthians Ramsey, which I think could be an absolute belter this week.
Yeah, just if anyone's learning to drive, by the way, you don't go over the roundabout. but do show your support for the nurses.
Yeah.
Beep for Jane Kerr if you can.
Yeah, Corinthians, what a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ramsey last year really derailed Corinthians' title charge that game up in up north, and I just think with this, Ramsey have been so good to start the season. I know last week they had the game against Geordies where Geordies couldn't field a team, but so they got the points there. But I think Ramsey have been so good from this season. It's going to be such a really good game, and Simo's banging form as well. So I think it'll be really interesting. Cause I think they've got slightly different styles as well. So Corinthians are really open and want to go at you. Ramsey are quite happy to sort of concede possession a bit and hit you on the counter, so it's going to be, I think it'll be a fascinating game this week.
How different do you think it'll be? Right, so Corinthians have come from an 8-1 win.
Mm.
Ramsey have come from not playing a game.
Well, we talked about this the other week, didn't we? It depends on your philosophical leaning.
Yeah,
it?
But I wonder whether it'll be meaning that Ramsey are raring to go and they'll be training for these past 2 weeks thinking, let's go, or Corinthians are like, we've just scored eight twice in a row, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they might be thinking, oh, we can do it again.
The only thing you could say, that obviously they were playing St George's last week, St George's couldn't field the team and were given a home walkover. Ramsey Combi will have always known they wouldn't have a game last week because Geordies don't have a Combi. They might have organised a bounce game. You just don't know.
Combi first team, something like that. Yeah. They could have arranged it, yeah.
Or even put that on Tuesday night and said, right, we'll change training this week. We'll do a more of a match scenario.
Yeah.
So, when we get to November, December, January time, when there's postponements start racking up, that's when I think momentum gets sucked out of it. I still think at this point of the season, you've still got a bit of that early season bounce, haven't you?
Absolutely.
But it's a good point. I still favour Corinthians. I think we talk about home advantage. We've mentioned it several times on the podcast already this season, and let alone this episode. I think Corinthians at home are a strong force
different
to be reckoned
beast.
Ramsey, though, again, we have also discussed this. Their travelling form has been a bit helter-skelter, hasn't it? They beat Braddon the other week.
Yeah, I mean, last season it was a bit different. This season we haven't seen it yet. I think it's a big thing. But the Braddon result, it was sort of a... I don't know, they had Charlie back as well that week, so it was a big sort of thing, big team to pick from. I just think it'd be interesting to see how this week plays out, I think. But I reckon... I'm going to go against Ben Qualtrough, who does tend to tweet us whenever we say this. I'm going to say Ramsey.
So I'm going to ask a couple of questions to the FC Ireland correspondent. Who's leaving from Ramsey? Is Charlie playing FC Ireland?
Yes.
Is Dan Simpson from Corinthians playing FC Ireland?
No.
Ooh. That could sway my opinion. I was going to go Ramsey. I think they're really strong. I think they'll be up there this season. They could even be fighting for the title. But now you've said Dan Simpson's playing, back-to-back 8-1 wins. It's pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go Corinthians, not 8-1.
I feel this will be... this screams to me, remember, a 2-0.
Oh, no, I'm going to go with like a 4-3 or a 4-2.
Ooh.
A bit close. A few goals in it, I reckon.
Well, let's just look down. I want to see... Just quickly, I don't think was there one clean sheet kept in all of the senior men's football games last week. Yeah, and that's Colby and Combi 2. They beat Douglaston District 4-0. Oh no, sorry, Ayr United also beat Royal.
Oh yeah, so
two clean sheets. It's staggering, really, isn't it?
It just shows the defences are crap. Really,
yeah,
it really does.
And the goalkeeping collectively,
exactly,
they're not brilliant.
Yeah,
just checked. Charlie's definitely playing for FC Ireland. But I'm still going to say Ramsey. I reckon they've got enough to do.
I didn't say you could go on that website on my phone.
Some interesting things you've been looking at.
Delete that. That's like worse than watching.
I've just been looking cameo for his team of the week.
Can we not bring him up, please?
Right, we'll move on to one of the games of the season if you're from Port Erin or Peel. It's Rushen versus Peel, the Old Firm derby. This is always a feisty affair, Tom. You know a lot of the guys in the Peel camp. They always pinpoint this one. This is the one they want to win. Probably, as much, or if not more than others, don't they?
Yeah, it's the big one. And it's probably, if you look at all the fixtures, it is the biggest game of the week.
Yeah.
The fact that it's at Rushen's is quite good, I think, because I think Peel would be favourites. And if it was at Peel, I'd go with a Peel win. But the fact that it's at Rushen, home advantage, they'll have a big crowd down. Rushen always have a big following, when they get to finals and stuff, they bring loads. So I think Rushen will have... Speaking of which, if anyone was going down there, they'll definitely have food on down there, won't they?
Yeah, yeah. Get some pictures of the square.
Exactly, yeah. So that'll be, to me, this is the game of the week. And I'm going to go with a Rushen win.
What?
Yeah.
That's
controversial. I'm going to go with a home win. I think the reason why, Peel, I've come on record to say the wheels are off. They did win last week against St John's, but I think they're back off this week. I think Rushen... Maybe they're just slowly getting into the season. That's what I keep thinking. I'm thinking Rushen might just start get going at some point.
I think it's Peel away from me all week, to be honest. Sam, do you not agree? Or?
I'm just thinking Rushen, last time out, they started to come back into it, didn't they? They got two-all draw they got last time out they played.
They drew 3-3 with St Mary's the other week, didn't they? Having been 3-1 up, wasn't that something like that?
Yeah, I think they got a 2-all draw against St John's, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, but I just feel they're not in top gear.
I think they've got the players to do it. I mean, you got Aaron Hawley there, you got Crystal Lazardas there, you got Dean Kearns. There's enough quality in that camp to do something. I think Peel, I get that they had the big win last week, but I just think they're a bit hit and miss, especially against Upper Ayr. I wasn't impressed. I've seen Rushen play as well, but they also got Ayr played them off the park, so based on that's all I can judge them on, it's a difficult one. I'm going to go with a draw.
A draw.
Maybe my prediction was a bit optimistic.
That's the quickest you've ever thrown it in reverse.
But I'll still go with maybe just a narrow maybe Russian win or a draw. But yeah, I don't know. I'm, fingers crossed the Russian win.
So. Any sent off, do we think? Yeah. There bound to be penalties in red cards, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's the old firm. It's like, if you were playing in that in 1980, you'd want sending it off now, wouldn't you? You'd want the tradition of the game to stay through. So it needs to be rough.
So we've talked about the old firm. Now this is a game that was once dubbed to me by Jim Travers as El Clasico of Manx football, St George's versus Lexi. This was, of course, when they were both duking it out in the mid to late 2000s for the silverware. Obviously, Lexi did the Grand Slam 06. Geordie's then did it several times post-haste of that. It's a different fixture now, of course, though. St George's, as we've already said, couldn't even get a team out last week.
Yeah, let's see if they can be bothered this week. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, but it's so strange to see them struggling after such years of dominance.
So I do agree, and I think it's a load of people put like sad times amongst football and social media, and I agree, because a club, if they've only got one team and they can only get one out, it's disappointing to see. But what I was saying to you earlier, I don't think is right. I think there's got to be a system in place that factors in that if you can't fill the team, for example, if a team goes down on goal difference now. So isn't the rule that Geordie's lost last week, but there's no goal difference? It's not like a 3-0 win.
I don't know, you tell me.
I'm pretty sure there's no 3-0 win.
I think it's just home win now.
And a home win, and I don't like that idea. Because if, for example, my club was in a situation where we could go down on goal difference to Geordie's, per se, there's a good chance that...
Are you trying to suggest that Johnny Myers has manufactured this to guarantee that there's no goal?
He could look at Lexi this week and go, I don't fancy it. I'm not going to get beat 9-0. I'm not saying they're doing that, but I'm saying what's stopping clubs doing that? Moran could play the full season and lose games 9-10-0, but we field it aside. I think there's got to be a system in play here where you've got to reduce a point. I think you lose a point if you don't fail the side.
I can kind of see what you're saying there, yeah. That does make sense.
Because at the end of the season, we could go a club. I'm not just saying this in a Moran perspective. I can see what if I was Royals or if I was other clubs in and around that relegation zone, if we go down by goal difference or a point or something because of a club not fielding a side and only not getting any goal difference, and if it was 3-0, it's still probably unfair then. It's got to be a point reduction for me. 1-0, 1-0, 1 point taken off.
I don't agree with being a point deduction because I think that should only be for breaches of the rules, whereas I think the idea of doing it as a 3-0, I'd probably do it more as saying a 3-0 loss, but the winning team only gets 3 points. So the losing team would have a 3 point, would lose the game and have 3 points taken off their goal tally, whereas the winning team doesn't get the goals.
But the three goals, Geordie's could just think, for Lexi this week, Lexi will probably score 9. They might just say, well, we'll take a 3-0 loss, and then it's not encouraging teams to bother. I think there's got to be a point system in play.
I don't know, the point system could be very counterintuitive, though, couldn't it? Because if you're struggling to get a team out, then they suddenly see points getting knocked off them. They're almost thinking, well, what have we got to play for, really? Because we're going to...
But it's 1 point. It's 1 point.
Yeah, but if you've got no points to start with...
Yeah, I get that, but there's got to be a rule in place that stops this happening. I'm not saying Geordie's... I'm not saying Geordie's are doing this tactically, but what I am saying is you could easily persuade... Like, you could easily do that, couldn't you?
Who is Moran's representative on the FA?
Colin Gilbert.
Ask Colin. March is rules revision. He needs to...
I'll suggest it. I can't see many people backing me, but I don't know. I do think something needs to be done about it, because...
There was obviously been a tweak, because I always thought it was 3-0. So there's obviously been a tweak of the rules.
But even if it is 3-0...
If we were better researched, we probably should have asked Kev at the FA more about this before we came on air.
Well, I assume Kev's listening, so he can answer us. He'll send us an email when this is finished, Kev.
we'll hopefully come back to it. Back to the football, though.
Yeah.
If Geordie's do get a team out on Saturday, is there any way they can get anything out of this game?
No, I think Lexi last week, they
were good. I mean, considering the number of changes in that team.
Well, I was going to say, Greg Kelly's a new name to me.
Yeah, come off the bench, scored 2, looked good. Ethan Hawley out in the ring.
Adam Carouche?
I think it was quality. Adam Carouche was, he had a really good game. It was a really good performance for Lexi, which, again, chatting to Johnny Bond before the game, he said about it's another week where he's had to make all these changes. I'm really struggling to find a way that I can see Geordie's getting anything out of it.
And he's made all these changes, which is fair enough. And the combi have still 1-7-4.
Yeah, it shows the depth, doesn't it? And also, it shows. I've spoken to a couple of Lexi boys, and Tom Cowan,
are
I think.
You speaking to him again now?
Well, not them type of experts. I speak to Tom Cowan. I can put up with him. And he was saying that it worked in midfield. Instead of having Brody and Ryan Gartland, they're similar players, as you've said. Instead of having them, they had workers rather than...
It was a different performance from that. It was a lot more of a dogged performance, and it was a lot more sort of high energy almost. And that's not to say that Garty and Brody don't do the run, and they do. It was just a different sort of midfield performance, which... Mm. It's really interesting because obviously Brody was suspended and Garty was not able to play last week. But so it'll be interesting if he comes back into it or where it works. Because I think from Johnny's point of view, it's one of them things, isn't it? It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it hurts me to
say
this.
You can change six of your team, still win a game like that.
But how does he keep everyone happy?
But you don't, and that's the thing. But people who've gone haven't been dropped, have they? They're not playing for different reasons. I feel like
chatting to Johnny, I think he was quite open about it. He said, if the lads want to be happy, they can be happy at the end of the season when we win something.
It's an if, by the way, not a when. Cam Avery's been nothing.
I think that's a fair enough sort of thing. I think he is a little bit frustrated around how he is having to chop and change team. Obviously, there's reasons for that. It's amateur footy at the end of the day. Mm. But I think that, again, chatting to him, he's just... he wants to see this team win. And I think that for him, being happy is at the end of the season. It's not about... Now, really, you're happier with the result at the end of the season than you are having played every week and not having won.
Mm. So one of the goal scorers last week was George Burrows, the midfield dynamo. He's emigrated to Australia this week to play cricket. Well, I say emigrated, he's gone to Australia. I think
he's coming back.
I think he's coming back at some point, but he's going to be out for a large chunk of the season and playing cricket over there.
That's a hell of a way to refer to it. Out for a large chunk of the season.
Yeah. So, but he'll be a big loss. He does a lot of running for them.
It's a quality problem to have. For as we say, though, like it almost annoys me to say it, that he's got a luxury of players that you can just. You lose a really important player. You can bring anyone in.
But that must. I was just thinking though, with the names we've mentioned, that must make training really intense as well, mustn't it?
I bet.
If they're all trying to impress Johnny, and they're all in good form, and the training must be just. You must be bounced off the walls.
Must be about 60 there, considering they signed every person I know.
Apart from you.
Yeah, apart from you. They did inquire though.
But the agent buffed it, yeah.
Yeah, I think Cam got the move instead of me.
Sure.
Although, not that I'd leave.
Right, you two go in the Laxey Way wins this win?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for old time's sake, and because poor old George might be having to man mark one of these whippets that we've been talking about, I'm going to say Georgie's will get something out of this. I reckon he'll get a point. I just think they've got the miles on the clock can sometimes... Do you remember when Richard Gough signed for Everton when he was 38 or 39 or something stupid like that?
I don't.
And he was one of our best players. And it, just because he had that extra yard in his head, and I think Geordie's just might. If Laxey turn up and think, I'm going to give these a walloping, I think they could get caught out. It depends if Bassey's on watch or not.
I hope so.
Right, last game in the top flight this weekend sees Ayr United take on the mighty... Yes, Ayr United quietly going about their business and putting themselves in the frame of title contender, I'd say.
I'd say the same, and I've got a feeling it's going to be another tough week for Moran. A long journey up as well, so not only are you going to get beat, you've got to travel up north to do it. But no, I think it's Ayr have been really strong. They've looked really good. They've beat some good teams, beaten Peel, which we all loved at the time, but now when you have to play them, you're going, oh gosh, because they're strong, aren't they? They've got a lot about them. They've got all the players they've brought back in. I think, I saw one of the goals. Well, did Dave got that photo wrong? That wasn't actually a goal. That was a goal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But then a couple of videos of their goals that you got, it was a bit of a messy from Peel. But Ayr just looked like they can just grind out results as well.
Yeah, I think I don't think he'd be too happy about conceding five last week, but they do just seem to score. And again, there's nothing. They just sort of do it. There's no sort of. I mean, there was some fantastic goals in the game against Peel, but at the same time, they just sort of get on with it and just keep going and. They're not a team that gets shaken very easily. So, also, they're playing Moran, so it's going to be an Ayr win.
But, Sam.
Moran, they've got to take positives from that result.
Absolutely. And I think we just put, speaking to everyone, I think we deserve, and what I watched, we definitely deserved at least a point there. And that would have meant a lot, yeah. I think. A point grabbed at home to St Mary's, who are doing well, that'd be really good. But I think training this week's been really good. I wasn't there on Tuesday, Wednesday. It's looked strong. I think. I think we just every week we've just got to keep working. So I don't know. I'm going to go us anyway.
We've talked about Laxey having a lot of disruption within their team every week. Brown actually often are quite settled, aren't they? You know, Brewy's got, you know, the fact that Brewy's been there since the year dot as well. Yeah, the whole club years. Is quite settled, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know you've brought some new guys in, but
lost a few loyal ones as well.
But we're going to get a jar, I think, where you have to put a pound in every time you make a comment about Cam. And
I didn't mention his name. That's a swear word in my face.
It's the same thing. Yeah. But it's quite a settled squad he has to choose from, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Harry Barton's not free this week, but I know what you mean in terms of most of the time it's the same, more or less the same match squad. Which
and I know there's a few like Mike Callister,
Combi ones in and around. But unfortunately, I'm not in. but it is quite settled. I know what you're saying, and I think
that must be advantageous.
It helps. I think, and it probably helps that although we're losing a lot of games at the minute and we're not grinding out results, I think it'll help that we're all playing together. We'll get used to it. Like for example, Harvey Callister's team of the week this week.
Yeah.
He's come in at left back, speaking, talking all the time. He'll get used to playing alongside Matty Macquarie, Harry Barton, the back four, and game by game. Even though like last week, as you say, positives will come. You get used to the players you're playing with week in, week out. Less people going away.
And you got settled. Nick Cole has been regular goalkeeper now as
well. Two times in team of the week as well. So he's been really good as well for us. We'd be done without him. So
I'm still going to go for a win after Tokyo.
I thought so. Yeah, most people will not back us. And this is what last week. I didn't think anyone really thought it'd be as close as it was. So I'm going to go with Moran to shock everyone.
As always.
Yeah.
Right, let's look ahead to the five games in the best league in Europe, DPS Division 2. We'll kick off with the game involving Colby, because it's a massive derby game there. The current leaders, Colby, which we should probably stay as well, they take on Malou in the derby at the Station Fields. It's been going really well for Colby, hasn't it, Sam? They've been, every challenge they've seen, every week we say, oh, Adam, oh, and he's like, oh, I don't know if we'll do it this week, and they have. They've overcome every obstacle so far.
Yeah, do you remember like when Claudio Ranieri was at Leicester, and every week it was just like, oh, we're just doing one week, so we're just little Leicester.
Yeah.
I think Adam's got a touch of that now about Colby. I'm just saying, if I spot Dickie Gale, they're taking the lads out for pizza.
Paul Costain's going to sing on the pitch at half time.
Oh, that's going to be... What a scene that would be.
We could probably make that happen, you know.
It's stopping would be the problem.
Yeah.
It's got a great voice, Paul. No, it is good to see, isn't it? I mean, it's good to see a different sort of thing, because Colby have one of those teams that for years you sort of like, they kind of should be up at some point, and looks like it could be their year. They're sort of doing things a little bit quietly, but picking up results. What was it, 4-0 last week against D&D?
Yeah.
Ollie Edge got... No, that's a combination, sorry.
It was a game, they were the one of the two combi, sorry, the two combi teams.
Yeah, so 4-1, so Paul Whiteley again got a goal. Jordan Edge,
Jordan Whiteley, that's probably potentially be one of the signs of the season for Colby. You know, he always scores goals, whether he's at Royal or Onken. And he's gone into Colby, and I think he's scored most weeks so far. Carl Hickey, we've mentioned before, he went from centre half to centre forward, and didn't he score 8 once against that game? Was it against Governors?
No.
Thanks
for that.
Yeah. So he's a great striker. Jordan Edge, the mercurial Jordan Edge, very much the Zlatan Ibrahimovic of southern football.
I just had that in my head. Yeah. I was listening. He's a bit like Zlatan, isn't he?
Johnny Croft. No, he's a stalwart, built in the same mould as Tom Curfee.
Big belly.
No.
I was going to still lose to his mum.
Let's not slight Johnny, Mr. Croft. But yeah, he's been at Colby forever. Just a steady lad. So, yeah, good result. They've got Malou this week. Malou, now, there's always a bit of... There's players that move between the two of these clubs, isn't there? They'll add an extra element to this. Malou will be keen to take some of the shine of this start of the season that Colby have had. I think this might be a draw. This might be Colby's first drop points.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say, Malou, because obviously last week they played Dhaka, who haven't got a first team.
Yep.
So it's a bit difficult to say what Malou are going to be like this week, but... it's one of them, isn't it? It's another Southern Derby, which there seems to be so many of in Div 2. I don't know, I reckon Malou could, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to go with Colby for Adam's sake. I'm going to going to say Colby.
I'm going to go with Colby as well. I reckon that it starts picking up when you're like winning and winning and winning. You just start getting into that mode of like you turn
it's
up on
just
the Saturday.
Pressure's off, isn't it? You just start playing football.
I don't know why I'm acting like I know what that's like.
I just think if they're guaranteed, like you say, you know, they're basically guaranteed goals, and I just think that that's such a big advantage having people you know are going to score
goals.
And again, I know that it's only a short journey for Lou to go, but it is at Colby, and they'll be thinking, "We're at home." We've got. I remember what was Adam saying about the food selection at Colby? It's not the best, did he say?
Yeah, he said he doesn't. No, he's no. I think he. To be honest, he didn't really know, which worried me, as he's a committee member.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have been discussed at that level what food they're selling? But yeah. Right, moving up the Ballymore to Foxdale, and they take on the mighty
Ballymore.
Ballymore straight now.
No, Ballymore.
Ballymore.
Okay.
Culture Brandon, if you're hearing this.
Foxdale versus Old Boys. Old Boys' return to DPS Division 2 hasn't quite gone as we thought it would go. Foxdale, on the other hand, though.
Flying.
And they've got their...
Guess who's back?
Guess
back
who's
again.
Back. Yep.
Chatwood's back.
How many did you score last week?
He got 3. He got a hat trick.
Against?
Against... Jim's, which they won 10-1 in, so he knew exactly what he was doing coming back in that game. I thought he listened to Adam's criticism of Jim's and he thought that'll do. But yeah, Chatwood, I don't think they did he did the walk out of smoke out the changing rooms that I wanted him to do. But
game, it's difficult to organise it in such a short period.
Yeah, that's exactly. Maybe this is it.
You'd have to get Cronkborn to agree to it and all sorts, but you know.
But I can hear rain outside right now, so this means this game is 100% off at Billigo Park. So we'll not be playing on Saturday.
Old Boys, you know, we heard Dave talking about it the other week. They had the Stuart brothers are meant to be back and a few of the older lads, Rob Ward. And like they won last week. They beat Govs 3-2, didn't they? So that's a good result. You know, finally getting a win on the board, but this is a tough ask. As you say, I don't think it'll go ahead. But
it's a tough ask. And Foxdale are flying, and as I say, they were doing well without Chatwood. He's been added back into the fold. This really could be the season for Foxdale. I'm going to keep adding that pressure onto them though, because this is what they do. They crumble towards the end of the season. Barton, if you're listening, you're going to crumble. But if you keep adding that pressure,
well, we are coming into the window. Their mid-season window where they don't play games.
Oh, yeah, they won't play, yeah. That's 2 months. That's probably a luxury for them. I think they like that.
No, I do quite like the spring evenings up at Foxdale. It's a nice place to go for
the back of the moon.
So so I don't mind if they have games called off.
Sam, Foxdale?
Oh, I think you got it, haven't you? And I'd really like to see Old Boys pick up a win, but nothing against Foxdale, of course. That's just sort of... Foxdale.
The game, another game down at Colby this weekend sees Governors Athletic take on Paul Rose at 2:30. This one, now Gov's performances have definitely been improving this season. I think they've narrowly lost most of their games, and I think they've got points in most. Not all of the games, but now he lost a couple of games. Last week there was 3-2. I think they can get a win on the board against Pauly this week.
I think they'll do it. I think this is the week that they'll get. Win on the board. I think it's two teams that have struggled early on to get results, but Govs, I just think they'll have enough this weekend to get a win.
Did Paul Rose not have a game last week?
No, they drew, lost 7-2 to
Michael. 7-2, okay. Yeah, I don't know, I can't really call this one.
Draw?
Yeah, I'll go a draw, but it'll be a low scoring draw, I reckon.
Do you think?
Maybe a 1-1 or a 2-2.
No. What it's do Max you football.
Yeah, I know, but...
I'm going for Gov's win. They've been training well when I've watched them last week.
Why do you watch Gov's?
Because they come on after me at Wednesday Night Football.
I just thought you were stood there.
No, I
thought you were doing your research for the podcast.
In the bushes. And then the football just happens to be there.
Yeah. What else are you doing down there, Andy?
Bielsa these days.
Yeah, Bielsa ball. They train well. I think they've turned, obviously, a bit of a corner. I think the performances do start need to merit sort of points soon. I'm going with Govs.
I'll go with a draw.
And of course you're going with Govs.
Oh, I'm always going to go with Govs,
Michael United club. Michael United versus Douglasson District should see Michael, I think, rack up another win. Liam Kane seems to be living up to the silver boot potential that we sort of highlighted pre-season. He scored 3 goals at the weekend on the score sheet last week with Dylan Parrish. He got a couple, and Tom O'Burnett. Who's been scoring got regularly for their combi, so he's obviously stepped up. Can we give any sort of, can D&D get anything out of this?
It'd be tough, wouldn't it? Michael flying, that attack, I know they conceded. So I don't know how strong their defence is. I know they conceded two to Pulley last week, but it's just the strength up front for me. For them, they've got like the scorers there: Liam Kane, Dylan Parrish. I'm not sure about the Burnett, but then
he's been banging them in for the combi. Yeah,
but then I also know that they've got the Griesley. As I say this every week, but they've got Griesley. They've got Bailey Ashton. Like the attack's frightening.
Yeah.
I think as a defender, you'd hate to come up against that because you don't know who's going to play. There's so many of them. I don't know how they get them all in. So I think Liam, every week do you see Liam Kane scores?
Yeah.
It's literally consistent, isn't it? And I know he's a former Lexi guy, and Tom Cowan was telling me they're trying to get him back next season, so that'd be their 61st player through the door. But yeah, he's a former Lexi man, isn't he, I think?
To be honest, I know we had a good season last season in front of goal for Michael.
They were unlucky not to go up as well. Yeah, last day.
I feel like that sort of galvan can either make or break you. Actually, kind of, you know, you either think, right, we know what we've got to be to get to that point again next season, or you think, oh, that was a lot of effort and we didn't quite make it, and you sort of split up, didn't it?
It's what Foxdale normally do. Gets there and go, oh, that was close. Wasn't it? We'll try again, but we'll half-ass it.
The Foxdale approach, as well. But yeah, I feel Michael. They're playing well. Unfortunately for Dave Matheson, because I know he'll probably be listening, I just can't see them getting anything out of that. If it's windy, that'll be horrible down there as well. But it's maybe quite nice on Saturday, I think. I don't wish to take anything away from Dave Reed's weather. But...
Yeah, I don't know.
Sam? It's hard to say because I haven't seen either of them play. I don't really know a massive amount of either of them. All I know is that Michael is not a fun place to play away. But looking at what they think, their form so far, like Tom says, going forward, they've got a lot going for them. I can't see D&D finding a way to... You've got to stop them scoring before you even think about... You have to outscore them, which is difficult.
Yeah.
Or stop them scoring. I don't think they've got the firepower or the defence to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Last game in DPS Division 2 this weekend sees Rykob take on Jims at Schoolry Gorry and the home of Bovril in Manx football. And we should really get that fact checked because it was a while since I've been up there. But Youthy, I think this could be a home win because Jims just don't seem to be able to get going at the moment. Have you been speaking to Maz, Sam, or is it he said he played?
No, last time I was chatting to him, we were discussing his theatre podcast. So,
He's taken over the managerial reins there, isn't he?
Yeah, I think you're probably right, unfortunately. It's going to be it's not a nice ground to play at, the school, and it's a bit weird.
The kids aren't there when you play.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I don't know, I just don't like it. I never liked it playing up there. I think the quicker that they get on with moving to the Roy Brewer Memorial Park at the end of the
Queen's Pier.
Yeah, I still think that's
the
play.
For them, despite how many balls they're going to lose every week. So I think, I'm going to say a Rykob home win.
This is where it's sad that Adam's not here, because he could go on a 5-minute rant about how he hates Jims and the crap.
No, he doesn't say he hates them. He just said they were abysmal. Yeah, he wasn't very fulsome in his praise for them, was he?
No, he wasn't. No. And in fairness,
the results have started to back it up, weren't they?
Yeah, maybe it'll just get worse and worse. Yeah.
So you see home win?
Sorry.
Jane Kirby's just asked if she can get a lift home from the airport at 9.
Tell her I'll pop down.
Tell her I'm busy. This comes first. I'm going to go for a home win.
Home win. Right. Before we leave you after this, this week's podcast, we'll talk about FC Alaman. Sam, they're back on the road after a brief spell back at the bowl.
Yeah. One game at the bowl, back on the road again, back in the skies.
But they won last weekend.
They did. I think Matt Shaw's a favourite at the minute amongst the Ravens fans because he was the one who flagged the offside, which, having looked back, it was the right call, but it was one of them at the time where you looked at it and went, none of the home team called for it.
Yeah.
None of the fans were calling for it, but he spotted it. And
Withenshaw,
who were third, ended up losing to a Jack McVay penalty, which, if you want a man to score your penalty, Jack's so calm on that situation. But it was just an all-around sort of solid performance. There wasn't a lot of glamour involved in it. There was moments, you know. I mean, Jacob Crook was brilliant. Dean Pinney Healing ducked really well. And Doyle playing with Frank behind him was something we haven't seen a lot of, which is quite interesting to see how that plays out throughout the season.
Bit like when Everton played Fellaini and Cahill off him, I'm guessing. I'm doing a disservice to Sean Doyle, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one's which? Yeah, I think it was just it was a really good performance in terms of just getting stuck in and getting a result. I mean, it's good to see Jamie Gall back as well. So it was
he's quite literally a mountain at the back.
Yes, and then this week, of course, they got Dean Lees back for the trip to, I'm going to say, Bursko.
Bursko.
There you go, Bursko.
You're going, of course.
I'm going, yeah. I'm up there on Saturday.
It's your Manx Sport doubleheader. After you've seen the lads box on Friday night, you're going to Bursko.
Yeah.
One of the famous old names of non-league football, Bursko.
Yeah, they are. They're sort of floating around. Apparently, they've just got a new... their new clubhouse has opened.
Oh, so fantastic. You opening it? Or?
I think Raven Raven's doing it, who is travelling over.
Oh, in full?
Well, I don't know, because they were meant to be on the Seacat, and now that's sort of fallen apart a little bit, because the engine's busted and the timings and all this. So they're now going from... the rest of the conspiracy are going from... I go to Tahitian on Saturday morning, and come down on...
On the Manxman that's sailing's already on the
threat. I think it's the Bembercree, actually. So, it might be the Manxman, actually.
Yeah, that's the one
the one that's under threat. So yeah. I could be...
the only one there.
The one man away, and it's going to be great. Other FC Albion fans are available to travel from the North West.
I'm looking forward to the video and audio.
People have told me that they like to see my reaction when Sam talks about FC Albion. Am I okay to leave next time we do it?
Yeah, no. Sure, crack on.
No.
No, okay.
It's rude to leave the table.
Rude. I'm not that I would. Yeah. No, it's just been suggested to me.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to go with the lads will win at the weekend. I think it'll be... It's going in good form, but I just think Dean Leach being back in, Jones has got such firepower coming in now. Just to annoy Thomas, we can bang on about it on Monday morning. It's going to be a great away performance, unlike my rounds.
Right, at this point, what we're going to do now is hand over to Dave Norton for his Combi Corner. Wherever he is, he will insert that now.
Welcome to this week's Combi Corner. Three teams maintained their 100% records at the top of Canada Life Combat Nation 1 last weekend. Leaders St Mary's made it 5 wins out of 5 with a 6-1 victory at Moran, helped by a Jamie Skillen hat-trick. Sorry about that, Tom. I know it wasn't a good day for Moran. Despite the evergreen Nigel Moody bagging a brace for Corinthians, second place Union Mills made it 4 wins from 4 with a 5-3 success at Ball Fletcher, while A United remained third after defeating Douglas Royal 5-0. And the other match in Combination 1 saw Laxey emerge triumphant 7-4 in a typically Manx high-scoring game at Victoria Road. In DPS Limited Combination 2, Douglas High School Old Boys made it a 6-point Saturday, their first of the season, as their combi side defeated Governors Athletic 5-1. Obviously their first team won 3-2, so it was a good day for them. Also scoring 5 on Saturday were Malou and Onken, who defeated Douglas Athletic and Castletown 5-3 and 5-2 respectively. And the other game in this division saw Colby record their first win of the season with a 4-0 success at home to Douglaston District. The game between Foxdale and Jims was postponed.
And if that wasn't enough, Dave Norton, for you in a cupboard, here's some more. Dave reads the weather.
Right, Saturday is dry, although fairly cloudy, with a high-level cloud breaking at times to give some bright or hazy sunny spells. There is a risk of coastal mist or fog developing later, but that should avoid all the matches. The wind, southwesterly 20 to 25, with a few gusts in exposed spots, but it's going to decrease later on, so we should be all right for a few games of football.
Right, anything, any other business, lads, Sam?
No, just, you know, it's be a good weekend for everyone to get out and support the local clubs and...
Let us know about this grant. We need some more memorabilia, don't we?
We do. That's a big call.
I feel like we've raided the Claire Gelling enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like we have as well.
The Colby shirt is addition since I've been away. I'm enjoying that. I've got a Foxdale one at home, which I'm going to bring in.
Yeah.
But that wasn't an official supporters t-shirt.
Do you have an FC Albion? I'm on to put Tom, actually.
Have you got an old one?
Yeah, we could leave that.
I'm sure we could actually go for one. He sort us out.
Or we could put, like, proper football clubs on there, so we could actually get, like... Every we'll club, you know what we do? We say it in the pod. We don't get that many listeners, so we should probably put it out on our Twitter, social media, Facebook. And I also like the idea that came to my head literally as we were talking earlier. Laxey do this thing at the club where they do like a soccer six. You know, on a Saturday. What's it called? Is it soccer six?
Yeah.
And they put the teams in, and if you get the result right and stuff, and I think something like that on Manx Footy Pod where
we used to do it.
Yeah. So why not bring it back?
Okay, I'll put it on the list.
I just think it's a good idea because people want to interact.
We make predictions every week and we don't track them because we're that often wrong.
But then I think you could win one of the Manx Footy Pod mugs we've got. I know we've only got two. Right.
Dave Norton will absolutely do it. We've only got two.
That's true.
He drinks
well,
that
we
one.
Could bring, we could get some more.
Yeah, okay.
We need to get the guests in as well. That's
guests are on our to-do list. We've also got a few other ideas bubbling around. We need to have an off-site workshop.
Yeah.
Which we are working on. We were going to do this weekend, but our star man is away.
Hattie?
No, you.
All right.
I was talking Hattie. Did everyone see he was also in France last week? I point out he was in Paris and I was in Lyon.
Yeah, all right.
I had a lot of confused questions about the artwork last week. Mostly from my mum, who was a bit worried because my dad was with me, and I thought like that we were in the wrong place.
I'm not apologising to your mum.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. That's
a bit harsh. See what she says to that.
Sorry, this is down. Basically, right, what happened was, it was a case of we needed something for you in France. Now, the only picture we had of you in a beret was pretty bad.
All right.
Because
you could have asked for more.
Yeah, it's plenty of
Yeah, but you weren't sort of like, you know, close enough. And then we were going to put one, and we thought, we can't subject Hugo to this as well. Yeah. So we thought, better not do it.
Yeah.
And then eventually, we just sort of remembered that the TV show Emily in Paris.
Right.
And went for Andy in Paris. And it was only after I'd done it, Dave went, you do know he's not in Paris, don't you? And I was like, you could have said
classic non. Classic non. Watch Hugo all the effort and then go, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Yes.
So at the time, his mum was interviewed by Alec Jones. He didn't tell us.
Yeah, fair play.
So,
Kings of Leon?
Well,
that'd have been good.
King of Leon?
Yeah, you're not the King of Leon.
I didn't know you weren't in front.
No, I think it worked. Paris. It was a nice picture.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And Paris, Leon, all the same place, aren't they?
But he was in Paris, and he went to see the horse racing.
And he got wrongly accused of being a naked man last week when we put naked man in Paris. So, yeah.
I sort of want to know more about that, but equally don't, so.
Yeah, we won't go into detail. No. Hattie's not naked, everyone.
Yeah.
However, he did go horse racing with the family. Looked like they had a good day. Yeah. Good trip out.
Yeah.
Was it Pale Homme?
Pale Homme. I quite liked his trip to the Louvre as well.
Yes, Hattie going around doing it as an art critic was one of the highlights.
I feel like there's a Channel 4 series in it. You know, Travel Man with Richard Adewai. Yeah. It's now Joe Lycett, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they missed a trick. They should have got Hattie to do it, Travel Man.
Well, I generally enjoyed looking at the art, so I'm just.
I feel like when he next goes to Ramsey, we could get him to do 48 hours with Hattie and Ramsey.
It's 48 hours. Not...
through his weird weekend.
Yeah.
It's 48 hours, not a bit much.
What? For Ramsey or Hattie?
Both.
Right, on that bombshell.
Ta-ta for now.